extend Christian greetings to each one here this morning. It's a blessing to see each one of you here, not because I'm here, but I believe because God is here. And as God looks down upon this group this morning, I believe he receives glory and honor that we have set a day aside to come into worship. Welcome each one of the students to another term of Bible school. It's good to see familiar faces and also to see new faces. Let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 3. Also, I'd like to thank the congregation here again for opening your doors to us, making it possible that we can spend time together studying God's Word. This morning, we want to look at a subject. It's probably one of my favorite subjects in the Bible. Because of Romans 3, verse 23, was me. And I hope it was you and is not you. But here it says in Romans 3, 23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We have all been there, have we not? But we don't have to be there anymore. We don't have to be a present sinner. But here I think of the condemnation that was upon my head this morning of this very verse. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The fact that I have sinned has put me out of the garden, per se. Adam and Eve back then, because of Adam and Eve committing and eating of that forbidden fruit, were put out of the garden, never to re-enter that garden. Never to be able to take of the knowledge of the tree of knowledge of good and evil again, because of the sin that they had committed. But there was that God had a plan. He come along and he shed blood. They tried to cover it with natural things, with leaves, but they took the shedding of blood to cover that sin. But this morning, friends, you and I are not living under the old dispensation anymore. Our sins are not only covered, they're washed away. And that just blesses my heart, and that's what makes this message so exciting in my life, that I no longer continually, year by year, need to come and make a sacrifice for my sin, because the sacrifice has been made for my sin. Therefore, we are not living in sin anymore. We can live above sin by the grace of God. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy 1, verse 15. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." You know, today we believe that Jesus came to save sinners. But were you a bad sinner? There is no such thing as a good sinner. We are all bad sinners. We are all outside of Jesus Christ. But the thing that blesses my heart, it says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save what? Not the good people. He came to save sinners. And that included you and I this morning. What a blessing. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Let's turn to that. We'd like to look at some verses as we go through this message, because there is nothing that replaces the inspired Word of God. Romans 1, verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." This morning, my dear friends, do you believe that? Are you ashamed of the power of God? Is the power of God prevalent in your life this morning? Is it manifesting itself? It is available to everyone, not just to a select few, not just to the Jew, not just to those who have a lot of talent, not those to those that have a lot of financial prosperity, but it is available to all of us, all of us. But this morning, can you stand with me and say, we are not ashamed because we have seen what it does for people. When we reach the age of accountability, we make that decision whether we were a sinner and let God put it in past tense or continue on being a sinner. Someone once said about a certain individual, he said he's about too good to be a sinner. I know what the individual was trying to say, but there is no one like that. upon the face of the earth. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. This morning the title is Redeemed. What does redeemed mean? To buy back, to save, to rescue, to release and set free. Purchase. The debt is paid. There's other things that you could use for this explanation of redemption. The word redeemed means set free. Today people are taking this totally out of its context and saying that redemption, we can do what we want. We've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior and now I can never sin again. That is not scriptural. We are all prone to sin. I am still living in this flesh. You are still living in your flesh. You have various things that contribute to revealing that you're living in the flesh. If you don't think you're living in the flesh, put your finger in a door and shut it once. See what happens. The flesh comes to life. How often in our life does the flesh come out and embarrass us? That is saying that we're still living in this flesh. But the flesh has to die daily. It is under subjection. It is no longer in the operator's seat. It is no longer in the controlling station. Jesus Christ is there when we think of redemption coming into our lives. To buy back. Adam and Eve were created without sin. They had no sin in their life. But because of a wrong choice, they became sinners. You and I this morning are born with the Adamic nature. You and I this morning have the opportunity of receiving the greatest gift that mankind will ever know. You and I this morning, because of our Adamic nature and because sin in our lives, are headed for a bottomless pit. But Jesus came along and was willing to do the Father's will. And he come along and he gave you a great gift and he stamped your debt paid. Brothers and sisters, that just melts my heart when I think of that. Not because I deserve it, but because of a loving Father hanging on the cross between heaven and earth. Redemption is a gift. It is not earned. But redeemed people are going to have different walk, a different talk, and I believe a different attire, a different outlook in life. The whole thing just changes when we view redemption. Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven whereby men can be saved. Muhammad can't save you. Islam, whatever other religion, there is no salvation there. It is only through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one who gave his life. He died on the cross, but the cross could not hold him. The grave could not retain him. He is arisen this morning. He arose from the grave and he has ascended and he's standing at the Father's right hand interceding for you and I this very moment. It blesses my heart when I think of that, of all everything he went through because he loved us so dearly. Let's turn it to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Redemption through his blood. We think of the word here, he's bought back. Jesus has come and has bought us back. We were created to bring honor and glory to him, as we have in the first message this morning. I was blessed by that again. The reminder that we have a purpose here in this life. And the purpose is not to serve ourselves, but to do the will of him that has redeemed us, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Pause for a moment and think, what a great gift forgiveness of sins is for you this morning. As you journey through this life, we make mistakes. But sin must no longer have dominion over us. Thanks be to God for the unspeakable gift. And as I think of that, as I think of journeying through this life, if God grants us 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, or 90 years, it's such a short span of time. But the fact that I can go through this life and knowing that my sins are forgiven because of that great gift that I have been able to receive, and in appreciation for the great gift that we have received, what are we going to do about it? We teach our children when they're very small, if someone gives them a gift, to say thank you. It is right and it is good. But in the Christian life, thank you is living, not just speaking. When God looks down upon His people this morning, and He sees how light we take Christianity, how light we want to make the cross that we're supposed to be bearing, is His heart grieved or is His heart blessed? Christianity and the life that we're living today is a serious life, but it's an enjoyable life. It's a life full of blessings. The world is full of chaos. The world is full of heartaches. We have our dark days. We have our troubled times. We have our valleys in our lives. We have our dark nights. We have our lonely nights. But thanks be to God. How often, when we go through that time, we find Jesus very near. Very near. Because we have appropriated the plan of salvation in our lives. Thanks be to God for His redemption. What has your redemption cost you? What has our redemption cost? Took heaven's best, God's only Son. Think of it. When Jesus went that night to the garden, and it says He sweated as drops of blood. He wept. Jesus was a divine nature, but He also had a human nature. And I believe that human nature that night is what made those drops of blood, as it were, drops of blood coming out. Intense emotional drama. As He prayed with a broken heart. And He knew what it was. And He says, I believe in my own imagination, and I see Him there falling down in a broken voice saying, "My Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but thine be done." The battle was won in the garden. That's why He could carry our sins to the cross. This morning, it still takes people to be falling on their knees and saying, "Not my will, but thine be done." And God has a perfect way. Jesus went from that garden. As He walked that journey, think of the mocking that He suffered. Was it from those people way out there? It was. Some of them were His own people. He's there in the trial. They're mocking, they're scourging. They're doing all kinds of... Think of the attitude. Think of the atmosphere that was there around Jesus because of those people that were hating Him. "We're going to get rid of Him." Over in the corner, there's a young lady that asks him, "Man, do you know this man?" He says, "No, I don't. I have no idea who he is." He done it three times. And the rooster crew. We know who that was. That was Peter. Jesus looked over at Peter. And I'm convinced that Peter never forgot that look. Because of what happened to Peter in his life. And we'll put him on hold just for a little bit here. Jesus was led out to that cross. His nails were put in his hands. That cross, and He hung there with, I believe, the most loving eyes looking down to those that had misused Him. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That is still the words that He is speaking in 2013, I believe, to many people. They don't understand what they are doing. But my dear friends, this morning, we don't have to drive nails in Jesus' hands. We don't have to be guilty of that grief that comes His way. We can be redeemed because that soldier that came and pierced His side, blood flowed out. Our sins have been washed away. Brothers and sisters, that excites me this morning. As I think of that great gift that was given, as I journey through this life, I don't have to amble about without hope. I don't have to dread the end of life. It has a purifying effect. We're getting ahead of our message just a little bit here. But as we think of coming to the end of life, coming to the toll booth, coming to the customs border, whatever you want to put there, and saying your passport has been stamped by the blood of Jesus Christ. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of our Lord. That's what we have awaiting for us. It excites me, and it should excite you. Because one who is willing to carry the sins of the whole world. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. No longer living in the mud and the mire. No longer wandering about in life, seeing what we can, trying to cope with life by ourselves. We can have Jesus Christ as our Lord. The only reward that is awaiting the world is death and hell. That's all they have to look forward to. The only thing the world has to look forward to is everlasting punishment. Everlasting fire, not a consuming fire, but a tormenting fire. Brimstone, a choking gas, a bottomless pit that is full of enemies. That's all the world has to look forward to. And outside of Jesus Christ, that's all I'd have to look forward to this morning. The rich man asked Lazarus, he asked Abraham, could you not only bring me a little bit of water? Please bring me a little bit of water. I don't know how many thousands of years ago that happened. But I believe this morning he is still wishing someone could redeem him from that bottomless pit. This morning, you and I do not have to join the rich man. You and I can be rescued. You and I can have the joy and victory of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. The rich man cannot change. He cannot be redeemed this morning. His destiny is sealed forever. Do you fathom forever? I can't understand it because I focus on everything in time. But the rich man still wishes somehow, some way, somewhere, someone, if they can't rescue him, will at least bring him a little bit of water. But it won't happen. But it won't happen. This morning, when I think of gathering in this way this morning, and as I reflect back over my life, just a couple of years ago where I sat where some of you students are sitting, not thinking that someday that God would ask me to be involved in Bible school the way I am. And yet, when I think about all God has done for me, I want to do all I can for Him. And I'll never, ever be able to make the slightest payment on my debt. But that's what God has done. And as I think of others that are journeying through time, when I think of the many who are lost, who are dying, those many that are hurting out there, my desire is, and I believe any person, this is the way we show our appreciation for what God has done for us. By reaching out and touching others' lives. Trying to rescue. July the 9th, 1960. Various ones that probably of you have been in Niagara Falls. But July the 9th in 1960, there's something that happened there that has never happened since. There was a group of two children with an older adult out on the Niagara River having an enjoyable time, enjoying the sunshine. A beautiful day. May we say a calm and relaxing day on this earth. Not recognizing that what they were going to face in a very short span of time. But as time moved on and they were enjoying this thing and they was going down through, we all know if you've ever been to Niagara Falls, we know the treacherous and the danger that's at the falls. But as they start coming down that river, there's a point they call a point of no return. Because the river continues to pick up speed. It becomes turbulent. There's rocks underneath. They came past that place that we would call a point of no return. And as they came past that place, their boat capsized, and I believe the oldest one, the adult that was with him, I'm thinking he drowned. But these two children were being swept down to that brink where that falls is falling very rapidly, falling down on rock. These two children were there. There was sightseer standing along the shore. And all of a sudden, someone was there that had a vision. And I would like to relate this story. Picture yourself. And picture these things of the world that are happening. Can you be that man? They seen something. And he asked some of his friends, he said, "What is that we see out there?" Something was bobbing in the water. And as it came closer, they said, decided it's a person. And it was not by mere accident. It was divine planning. I believe it was Deanne, the girl. She was bobbing down through there. And she came over close to the shore. There was a truck driver there who crawled over got out of his own comfort zone. And he reaches out as far as he could. And he was able to reach the young girl, got a hold of his finger and thumb, and held on dearly. But he was able to hold her, but not to pull her in because of the strong current. Someone else came and joined him. And they pulled the girl back to safety within feet of going over the rapids. Her brother was not that fortunate. He went over the rapids. Can you this morning, how does your heart feel when you think how you were going down that river of sin? And you found yourself heading over the falls. And one day you reached out. You wanted to be rescued. And you got a hold of Jesus' hand. Does that still bless your heart? It just thrills my heart when I think of that feeling that happened that night when I reached out and I felt my Father's hand. It was my Father's hand. My Heavenly Father's hand was not like the man that reached out and could not pull her in. But sometimes we want to hang on and think our own goodness is going to make us hold. It won't save us. But when Jesus gets a hold of us, he takes us out of those turbulent waters and sets us on dry ground, same as he did that day for that young girl, that man did there. But are you and I willing this morning, are you and I willing to step out of our comfort zone and to reach out for those people that are headed to go over the cliff, may we say, without a hope of Jesus Christ? How can we stand by and watch it happen? Because what all that Jesus has done for us. Romans 10, verse 9, let's turn to this. Romans 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And this saving is not merely being inside of walls when the storms are brewing outside. It's being, may we say, in the center of God's will, in the center of God's hands. As I think of it, I had to think of a song. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper spots and melt the heart of stone. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim, I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all. The greatest gift that man can ever know. John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. And bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Today, we have the Bible. We have the inspired Word of God in our laps this morning. We have the Holy Spirit. There is no excuse for someone not to be living the victorious Christian life this morning. There is no excuse for you not to be enjoying the plan of salvation, enjoying the gift of redemption. John 3:16, we all know that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's the great God we serve. He's still in the saving business this morning. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. It's not a shadow of a doubt. It says he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Does it stop there? And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We think of that cleansing, an example I think of cleansing. You know, I don't know why. I don't understand because I'm not a woman. But sisters clean their house weekly, but cleanse it probably twice a year. They have spring cleaning and fall cleaning. Why? They want to make sure that house is clean. This morning, dear friends, it's cleansing that I believe that Jesus is speaking of here in his word is a purifying effect. We do it daily, but we also need these times weekly and bi-weekly and Bible school times, whatever it is, of cleansing the inner heart, making sure that there's no draught there, making sure there's no dust there, no mildew, no spider webs. The cleansing of Jesus Christ is always for our good. Romans 3 verse 24 says, being justified freely by his grace through his redemption, that is in Christ Jesus, justified even though as I never sinned. A great gift. The blood washed our sins away. His resurrection gives us victory. He is ascended. And he's coming back. He's coming back. We don't know when. That is not our concern this morning. Our concern is that when he does return, that we can say, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That when the Lord returns, that your life and my life, we will be ready to meet him. I understand some of you were the OCC this morning. You know, those people are in prison. But the prison that many of those people are in is not the walls that you see. The prison they are in is because of things that they have in their life, sins that are there. Recently, I was talking to an individual who served a time in jail. I don't know for sure why, but he spent some time in prison. And he is free. I asked him, I said, how did it feel the day that you walked out the doors and were a free man? He said, I was a free man before I walked out the doors. I said, that's what I wanted to hear. This morning, are you in a prison shell, in a prison cell, under the garb of plain clothes? I can't see your heart, but you don't have to be there. Jesus is here to set you free. When our heart is cleansed, our heart is free, there is tremendous opportunity. And what is more encouraging, as I was sitting up here this morning, I thought of it again. Sitting in front of a group of people, of a church, of young people, I look forward to course, but to see people and to hear people that have their sins washed away and get together and sing. To me, it's a foretaste of heaven. The only thing is our voices won't get hoarse there. But to me, that's something that God has given, a talent, an ability that God has given to us of singing together. There's a joy that is manifested. And the manifestation and the expressions on your face, if you're thankful for what God has done for you, if you are thankful that you are a redeemed person, then show it on your face when you sing. I realize we're all made different. But I think it's such a blessing. When I think of the song, another song that we have in our songbooks, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. How could anybody sing that with a sad expression? Because it's such a tremendous gift that God has given us. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Released, out of bondage and out of prison. I trust you are this morning. Galatians 5 verse 1 says, stand fast there from the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. There's nothing out there for a soul that's once known God. We sing that song. And yet, it saddens my heart today to see how many people are wallowing back in that mire again. You know, you can take a pig. You can wash him up. You can make him look the prettiest color, pretty white, whatever you want to. You can do all kinds of things to him if you want to. You can tie ribbons to his ears. You can tie a ribbon to his tail. It doesn't matter what. You can do anything you want to beautify him. But you know what's going to happen? If you do that in the summertime when it's warm and you let him go free again, you know what he's going to go. He's going to go right back to the mud puddle. And a person who comes to the crossroads of life and is thinking that his own goodness and his own may smooth speech or whatever it may be is going to get him through is going to find himself walking back to the mud puddles way too often. But when Jesus Christ gets a hold of an individual and the flesh is eradicated, it never is eradicated. It is brought under control, is brought under subjection, will find himself as he goes through life that the mud puddle becomes less and less and less desirable. And the Word of God becomes more meaningful because of what he's enjoying, what God has done for us and for him. Let's turn our Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians 5, verse 17 and 18. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, working for the everlasting rescue mission. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Are you a new creature this morning? What excites you in life? What are you excited about in life? I venture to say, if you talk with an individual, you don't have to talk very long until you figure out what his interests are. Sisters, this morning, if you like sewing or gardening or something like that, and you find something that you feel has made you more effective, or something that made the food a little better, easier to make, or whatever, you're willing to share it with other people, aren't you? Sure you are. Brethren, young men, when you find out something that helps your vehicle performance, helps your fuel mileage, or your laptop, some gizmos and gadgets that you found on there that you think are better, cell phones or whatever, the list can go on. You're very quick to tell your friends, aren't you? Why? Because you're excited about it. A salesman cannot sell his product unless he's convinced of it. If I would drive in here and with a Ford truck and try to give you a good sales pitch on how good Chevy pickups are, that if you run Rotella oil in them, they'll just run forever, and you would ask me, what vehicle are you driving? I say, I'm running a Dodge. What oil are you using? I'm using AMSOIL. You know what I'm saying? You'd say, well, what are you talking about? But I'm afraid that's what too many people are doing today. They're trying to share the gospel, but they're not really convinced themselves of what it can do for them. I hope there's no one like that here this morning. If you are, get sold that Jesus Christ can rescue and save and cleanse. Are you sold on the product this morning? Peter and John said, let's turn to this reference yet. Acts 4, verse 20. Here we could read this account. Sometime, take the time and read this account here. I'm just going to pick out one verse here. Let's read verse 19, I guess. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, judge ye. Can you hear, can you imagine in your mind this morning the tone of voice that verse 20 was said? For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Dear people, this morning, that's all we can do. That's all we can do. I don't care if you're a minister, if you're a lay member, if you're a teacher, if you're a youth. I don't care what your position is in life. But that's all we can do. And let it be known unto all men what God has done for you and what He can do for them. Have a heart of compassion. Have a heart of joy. And may that be your testimony this morning. Let's go back to that man that we had left standing in the corner. Who said this verse that we just said? Peter and John. Did they say it together? Did one say it? I don't know. But Peter, when he found out, when he was came through as a true disciple of Jesus Christ, I believe this was his testimony. We could go through the book of Acts and we see how boldly he preached and how firmly he stood and how many trials he went through. But because of the appreciation for what Jesus Christ had done for him, he was willing to do it. You and I this morning, I don't know what it would be like if I would have been asked to preach here this morning, to share the message that God had for us, and thinking that the officers may come in and take me home and kill me. Would I have had the same message? Would I have been willing to preach? Those are things that we don't know. We don't understand that. But Peter did. He went right on preaching. He went right on serving his Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, you and I, our life is not in danger of someone taking it. But Satan is out snuffing out a lot of lives by the cares of this world. Just those little things. Are you sold on the product? All earthly things may be improved upon. But the Word of God, this is what you have in your hand this morning, is the written Word of God. It's the inspired Word of God. It is not merely a good book. As I was told by a Chinese that I believe some of those, their churches or schools, I should say, and universities would use it as a history book. I'm glad they do. But to me, it's much more than a history book. It's the inspired Word of God. It cannot be improved upon. It was and is the ultimate heart conditioner, life-changing, health-improving, energy drink, nerve calming, vision enhancer, weight balancing formula ever given to men. And if you have any other disease that fits in this category, it will take care of it. It takes care of all spiritual diseases. No, not physical necessarily, but spiritual diseases can all be healed by the Word of God and the revelations of the Holy Spirit. They always coincide. Always. If this formula is followed correctly, it will yield bountiful fruit in this life, and we will be able to spend all eternity with others who have come to know the great physician. This morning, you know, it's something about us sometimes that if someone has health issues, we're glad to share with them something that has helped us. But this morning, are you and I, are we excited about sharing the medicine that will heal the brokenhearted? It will pick up the broken pieces. It will help men and women throughout life. And yet so often, we want to walk around with it close to us, but kind of closed up, and really nobody knowing it. This morning, open your Bibles and share. God is not asking each one to be a minister, but He's asking everyone to be a missionary. Matthew 24, verse 35 says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away." It's forever settled in heaven. It will not change. Are you enjoying the victorious Christian life this morning? Do you love serving the Lord? I trust our time spending here together as a Bible school. I believe it's the burden of each teacher. I say that with full confidence. I believe it's the burden of the congregation here, and I believe it's the burden of the congregations that we represent as a student body, that this time will be a time of a strengthening and encouraging, driving down the stakes, bringing forth those fruit. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is a sober verse, but yet it's something. that you and I can look forward to with a calmness. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. For we must all appear. There's not going to be any miscounts. There's not going to be any recounts. It's all going to be final. This morning, travel with me ahead of time. What will your answer be when we stand before the judge of all judges and we see holiness that we have never known in this life? We see one who is just. And we stand before the one. Is your passport stamped? Is your passport current? You know, if you want to travel to another country, you have a passport. And if it's expired, it's of very little value. Is your passport current this morning? Are the felonies all taken off? The plan of salvation is for all men. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 21. Well, let's back up to Revelation 20, verse 12. Start there. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of all these things which were written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. What a sad day for those individuals. What a sad day. Going down to verse 21, chapter 21, verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Brethren and sisters, this morning, the greatest title that I believe we can have is children of God. As I think of all how I was outside of Jesus Christ, I was a lost individual. But because of his redemption, it says here, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. To be called the sons and the daughters of God, it just melts my heart. It's only because of God's love that I can be called his son, adopted into the family of God. Going over to Revelation chapter 22. Verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whoso loveth and maketh a lie. That's the outside. But verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments. Are you enjoying that blessing today? Now remember in the beginning of our message, we shared that Adam and Eve, because of sin, were put outside of the garden so that they could never partake of the tree of life. But look here, that they may have right to the tree of life. In my mind, I've wondered what that tree looked like back there in the garden. I don't know. But here I have an invitation to partake of the tree of life, to be in the very presence of God. Verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That is the invitation that you and I have this morning. Come. Come. Jesus is saying, come. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be your father. He wants to be your companion. He has made everything available. He has the best gift package for you that you can ever have. Don't be scared of him. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. He is your friend. Is he your friend this morning? Are you afraid of God? Yes, I believe God is a great God. He's a just God. But I believe we're going to face God in one or two perspectives. If we serve Him in this life, we can find Him on the end of life as we stand before Him as a loving God. But if we have sin in our life and do not live the victorious Christian life, we come to the end of life, we're going to face Him as an angry God. How do you value God this morning? Come, He is saying. May we, these next 3 weeks, may this be our experience in our life to draw closer to God. The closer we come to God, the more blessings we can receive and the more enjoyable life becomes. But there's one thing that stands in the way so often, and that is our flesh. It wants to hold back. But if we appreciate the fact that our debt has been paid, those fleshly things, those earthly things become strangely dim. May each one of you this morning be excited for what God has done for you. May the Lord bless you. Let's kneel for a word of prayer.